I have but one burning enthusiasm and desire, and that is to do everything that's possible within my power and my means for Jesus. Do all that I can, Paul said, to finish my course with joy. To do everything I possibly can, to stay just as far away from the flesh as I possibly can, and to keep the joy of the Lord in my heart all the days of my life. I'd love to read some from the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I think I'll read from the 19th chapter, beginning at the 19th chapter. Some are not familiar with the 19th chapter. I refer to it a lot, and some are not familiar with it, so I'd like to read from it tonight because I'm always referring to it. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his armies. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devils that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life, water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderer, and whoremonger, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's a number of things that's outstanding here. First of all, in the 19th chapter, we're told that the Lord returns. In the 20th chapter, we're told that Satan is bound for 1,000 years. In the 21st chapter, we're told that New Jerusalem appears from heaven, and that a voice out of heaven all of a sudden says, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, or among men. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. You know, Peter used the terms one time, as long as I am in this tabernacle, just so long as I am in this tabernacle, I feel that it is my job to tell you about the things of God. I know that someday, he said, that I will put off this, my tabernacle. And many things that I tell you, I know that you already know, Peter stated. But nevertheless, I feel that I must bring these things back to your remembrance and stir your minds up toward these things, even though you already know these things. As long as I am in this tabernacle, I feel that I ought to do this. If you notice The terms is used here that they that reject God, listen to some of the things that Peter wanted us to remember. They that reject God, the Bible tells us that these were cast alive into a burning lake of fire. They were cast alive into a burning lake of fire. You know, it's so easy to go out and do the things of the world. It's so easy for man just to do what he wants to, have his little display in life, whether it be a display of temper or arrogancy, covetousness, lust, whatever it might be. It's so easy for man to do that and forget about God and just cut God out of his life altogether. It's so easy for him to do that because he is dull of hearing, and man forgets too easy. He forgets that God said that there is a lake of fire. There is a burning lake of fire. And the Bible says that the false prophet and Satan and all of them that took the mark of the beast, all that rejected God, were cast into the lake of fire. All of them. When we stop and think about being cast into a lake of fire, to where we will burn forever and forever and forever and forever, it makes us think different. But see, we still think, well, we're still alive. We can decide about that later. But then when we think a little farther and we consider things a little more and we realize that we're so fragile that this little breath of life that goes in and out, our nostrils, is nothing more than just a pitter-patter of a heartbeat. That's all there is to it. One little skip of the heart. One day with a little too much excitement, little overexertion. And the Bible said that even in the last days, young men's hearts would fail them from fear because of the things that would take place. And so then when we think about how fragile that man is, how short-lived his life is, how that he is plagued all the day long with sickness, problems. His life hangs in jeopardy all the day long. There might be a wreck. There might be a storm, a tornado. There might be some kind of disease that's eating him up. All the day long. All the day long. If he would just stop and think, he would become aware of the fact that his life is but a shadow. Like Solomon said, it's few days and full of trouble. It's swifter than a shuttle. Swifter than a shuttle. You ever seen a shuttle? I've stood and watched a shuttle go by so fast that you can't hardly see it as it moves. Swifter than a shuttle. Solomon said it's like a vapor. It appeareth for a while and then it vanisheth away. When you consider all of these things, and then you realize that your end is the lake of fire, then it makes you think different. And you forget about all of your ambitions, all of your future, all of what you wanted to do in having a career. In the first place, what is a career in this world, in this life? What is a career? What is the future in this life? There is no such thing as a career in this life, and no such thing as a future in this life. All of that's foolishness. That's something that Satan has hatched up. That's something that the intellectual powers of human reasoning has set forth. Satan has done that. Satan has set up these systems of education and all of this thing about future and all of these things about having a career. The devil has done that. He's done that to cause men to be preoccupied. He's done that to get their attention, to pervert them, to deceive them, to turn them aside from the fact that life is like a vapor. And that is swifter than a shuttle. And that all of their mind and thoughts and time and activity should be spent in preparation for the next world. And should be spent in preparation of getting ready to escape the damnations of the lake of fire. And that all of their time should be spent in trying to please God, to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All of this thing about getting money, laying up treasures, having convenience, having comforts, having bank accounts, all of that's of the devil. The devil did all of that. Satan did that. He did it to trap you. He did it to get hold of you, because he knows that your life is but just as a vapor. It's like a figment of imagination that seems to be there, and when you reach for it, it's gone. The devil has planned all of that. He did that to trap you. He did that to get a hold of you. He did that to get your mind out there somewhere. Oh, I tell you, friend, the Bible says, and these whose names were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they were cast alive into a burning lake of fire. You know, we don't like to talk about hell. We don't like to talk about the lake of fire. We'd rather talk about something else. We'd rather talk about the love of God. Somebody will say, Brother Pike, don't talk about dying. Let's talk about the love of God. That's what's wrong with the church world today. The preachers have talked about what they call the love of God until the people have gone to sleep. And the Bible teaches that all of them were asleep at the midnight cry. And the church has been just cuddled in such a way until it's gone to sleep and it's give out of oil and it's barren of the Spirit of God. But brother, I want to tell you something. The true love of God is when a man tells you the truth. That's what the love of God is. The love of God is when somebody will stand up here and tell you that there is a lake of fire, and all who don't have their names wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life is going to be cast into that lake of fire. That's the love of God. He tells you the truth while you yet have a chance to escape the lake of fire. He tells you the truth while you yet have a chance to do something about it. While you have a chance to clean up your mind from lust and clean up your thoughts from covetousness and clean up your feelings and emotions and passions and all of these things. God tells you. I know some of you are not going to do anything about it. I know you're not. The reason you're not is because you're not born again. The reason you're not is because you don't have His Spirit. There's something about you that when somebody draws your spirit, it gets a hold of you. There's something about a woman. She doesn't want to be godly. She doesn't want to look holy. She wants to be attractive. You know what the word attractive means? You ever seen anything that attracted particles? She wants to attract attention. The worst thing that she could do. The contrary thing to God, a man wants to do the same thing. He wants to look what he calls handsome, admirable. Why? Because it's of the devil, that's why. When a woman wants to look attractive, she's of the devil. When a man wants to look like that, he's of the devil. God doesn't want people to look like that. He told the woman to adorn herself in modest apparel. He told her to adorn herself with shamefacedness. He told the man to be grave, sober. But as I say, even here at Little Bethlehem, some of you will never be like that. I preached to you for years. You'll never be like that. You'll never practice that. You'll never try to practice that. To you, it's just some big song that I'm singing. Like the Bible said, somebody making music to the children in the marketplace. But they won't dance. Saying, we piped unto you, but you won't hearken. You won't dance. You won't pay any attention unto us. Why? Because you're not born again. You don't have a spirit. You've got that carnal mind of yours. You've got that passion. You've got that thirsting, that hunger. You've got those human senses. You keep them well fed. Well, you keep them in tune with the world. You keep them in good shape to where they can lust after one another and draw one another and be contrary to God. But the Bible still tells us that they were cast into a lake of fire. That's why we teach the women of Little Bethlehem to put on clothes. Somebody said, well, I don't see any reason for it, Brother Pipe. That's because you have not come to know God. If you ever come to know God, you'll see a reason for it. I teach that a woman should cover her neckness just like a man should cover his. Even more so. And it ought to be in modest apparel. Shamefacedness, sobriety, soberness, graveness. But there is a lake of fire. There is a lake of fire. Why is it that some of you have been married one time and two times and three times, four times? Why is that the world's in that kind of condition? Because of the devils and the demons. The lust of the flesh. You can't live with one woman. You can't live with one man. What is it? And some of you that are living with them, you've been married a half a dozen times as far as lusting after one another, as far as being joined together, committing adultery. Jesus said, an adulterous generation, a sinful generation, a wicked generation. But there's still a lake of fire. There's a lake of fire. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Did you know that when a person tries to live for God sincerely, when they try soberly to serve God and to do what God asks them to do, my brother, God will save them. But when you don't make no effort to honor the ministry, to obey the voice that speaks to you, when you don't make no effort to conform to what God requests is of you through the word of God and through the ministry and the leadership of God, don't you know that you're going to be cast into the lake of fire? You say, well, I don't see it like that, Brother Pike. I think that I've got God and I'll make it. All right. That's between you and God. But there's one thing for sure, that in the day of the judgment, that as a minister of God, I'll stand there to witness against you in that day. Because I told you God's word and what God required of you and what God wanted you to do and what God expected you to do. And you took it for granted that you didn't have to honor Brother Pike, nor the ministry, nor anybody else. You young girls are doing the same thing. You young men are doing the same thing. Not only that, but many of you others that are married, it's the same way. You're not honoring the word of the Lord. But the Bible says that they were cast alive into a burning lake of fire. You know what it is? The devil has given them too many movies, too many TV shows. You know, you're cast into the lake of fire today and the main player comes back day after tomorrow. And everybody got a thrill. But oh, my brother, sister, I'll tell you one thing. If there is a slip, and you or I or anyone else is cast into the lake of fire, there won't be no tomorrow. There won't be no coming back. There won't be no starting over. The devil has used all of those things to rock you to sleep, to get you out of the world of reality. All of those things to get you out of the world of reality. But I tell you today, as I stand here and talk to you, that you got one heartbeat between you and eternity in a lake of fire, where the fire is not quenched and where the flame is eternal, according to the Bible. The Bible says eternal flames. You've got one heartbeat between you and that. And if you make no effort to do anything for God, you're in trouble. I tell some of them that comes here that wants to homestead on the campground. All they want to do is homestead. They don't want to do nothing for God. They should never have come here on the campground. They should never have taken a place on the campground to cause me trouble and to cause others trouble to homestead. You're troubling me every day that you live on these grounds. You're crossing my spirit and troubling me because you don't help me and you don't help the brethren. And you're not welcome here on the campground. And I tell you that you're going to be cast into a lake of fire because you are troubling the kingdom of God. You're troubling the people of God. But all of you that have come here to live the best that you can, to do the best that you can, and to try to be a part of something that's holy and godly and righteous, and not to try to be skimpy and get around every rule and regulation that we take from the Bible, but to try to conform to every rule and regulation, hoping that everything that the Bible teaches, that the preacher will the more bring it before us and teach us. You have a hope in heaven. You have a home in heaven. God isn't going to turn you into the lake of fire. You don't have to worry. The Lord will take care of you. But my brother, as I live and breathe and as I talk to you, the others are going to be turned into a lake of fire. You say, but Brother Pike, I think I'm a pretty nice person. I don't do what a lot of people do. You don't have to do what a lot of people do to be turned into the lake of fire. The Bible said if you lie, you'll be turned into the lake of fire. I've got people here at Little Bethlehem that lie. I've heard them lie. Now you say, Brother Pike, you don't know that they lie. I asked somebody one day to do a certain thing. He said, give me a few minutes, I'll be right back. I said, wait a minute. The Lord just showed me you're lying. You're not planning to come back. And it tore him all to pieces. And he looked at me and said, that's the truth. Said, I lied to you. Said, I wasn't planning to come back. Let me tell you something. The Bible said liars will have their part in the lake of fire. When you make an agreement with a person and you don't make any effort to stand by that agreement, you are a liar. You will be turned into the lake of fire. It doesn't matter what you think about it or what I say about it or anybody else says about it, you'll be turned into the lake of fire. When you come to Little Bethlehem one day and you stay here long enough to be numbered with these people and then you run off and get out there in the world, as I've said so many times, and then you start doing the things of the world to reproach Little Bethlehem, the devil is using you. You're going to be turned into that lake of fire. God is going to turn you into that lake of fire. If you are a contractor and you're working your men and you're cutting the corner to try to make an extra dollar to put into bank so that you'll have more money, God is going to turn you into the lake of fire. You're going to the lake of fire. The Bible said, woe unto that man that is held back by fraud from them that are reaped down his fields. For their cry hath entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. My brother or sister, you that gossip, you that backbite, you that cause division, the Bible said one of the seven things that God hates is he that soweth discord among the brethren. Whereas the Bible uses the term, remove the talebearer and the strife will cease. You that cause problems and divisions, you're going to be turned into the lake of fire. Oh, but you say, Brother Pike, I'm going to change. I'll tell you what, you better do some quick changing. Because I want you to know one thing, friend, and that is that a spirit, when a spirit gets a hold of you, you don't just change like that. There isn't any way for you to just change over. A spirit is alive. A spirit is a power. It's a strength. And if you're doing that, then it means that you're taken with those kind of things. and you'll be turned into the lake of fire. I've explained very carefully to you. You that are always annoying the brethren, aggravating the brethren, tormenting the brethren, constantly causing problems among the brethren, you're going to be turned into the lake of fire. The Bible said that God will pluck out of his kingdom everything that offends. Everything that offends. You that are causing those problems, you'll be turned into the lake of fire. Why are you telling us this, Brother Pye? Because tonight I felt like that God wanted me to talk to you about the lake of fire. Today God talked to me about somebody. I was telling my wife, as far as I know, that somebody is fixing to go into the lake of fire. Though I've talked to him for a number of years, different times. But as far as I know, according to what I see, they're fixing to go into the lake of fire. He's fixing to call them, and they're fixing to go into the lake of fire. According to what I understand, they're not going to be saved. They're going into the lake of fire. Why then would you do such foolish thing? You listen, but you don't listen the way God asks you to listen. The Bible tells us that we should give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, and that we should take heed how that we hear, that we don't get it all jumbled up and outreason it, and start reasoning in our mind and saying, well, I don't believe it's like that, I don't think it's like that, I don't feel God meant that. We should take heed how that we hear. I tell you again, brother and sister, you may cut me to my heart. You may tear me to pieces. You may do the things that you know that you ought not to do. And your evil, conniving way of causing problems among the brethren, of causing me heartaches and sorrows with your lust and your conniving. But God will put you in the lake of fire. He will do it. You may shirk your responsibility to God here at the campground, but God will put you in the lake of fire. I thought today, I got a report from a brother here about someone that had just given an offering to another evangelist. And I thought, Lord, isn't that so correct? That you showed me the man's heart that it was exactly that way. That as long as you provide for an individual, they'll receive all the provisions you give them. But if you ask them one time to do something to help, they're ready to spew out all over you. And they don't have any more interest in you. There's hundreds and millions of people that's going to be turned into the lake of fire. In Revelation 19, it says the heavens opened, and there came forth one with a vesture dipped in blood, whose name was called the Word of God. Here's one thing that you've got to remember, that the same Word of God that's speaking to you tonight is the same Word of God that will be on that white horse that'll come back. And you're going to be judged, Paul said, by the same words in the last day that I'm speaking to you right now. And the Bible said the heavens opened, and there came forth the white horse rider, and on that white horse sat the Word of God, a vesture dipped in blood. And there followed him the armies of heaven, and they were true and they were faithful. Brother, sister, I wonder, have you examined your heart? Have you stopped to ask yourself the question whether or not you are true and faithful? Are you true and faithful? Are you true to your office? Are you true to your cause? Are you true to the brotherhood? Are you true to anything that God would have you to do? Are you faithful to your post of duty? Are you faithful to the cause of Christ? Are you faithful to the Word of God or truth or righteousness? Are you faithful to the Spirit of God? Is your thoughts clean and holy and righteous? Are you struggling every day, every minute, every second, every thought, every impulse of your body, every intent of your heart? Are you struggling to have a pure thought, a holy thought, a godly thought, a just thought, a righteous thought? I said the other day, it is so easy for you and I to get upset at somebody and then go off by ourselves and get in our own little world and shut ourselves away and just hack people to pieces, just tear people to pieces. It is so easy for you to get up here in your own little world and lust after another man's wife. So easy for you to do that, because see, nobody sees you, you think. It is so easy for a woman to sit and play with another man's spirit when she is sitting there thinking that he is noticing her, and she can't hardly control herself because she feels like he's noticing her. It is so easy, but I want you to know that God in heaven is looking in your world, and God in heaven sees you and your evil and your wretchedness. And God in heaven commanded you to clean your heart up. The Bible said, purify your heart, ye double-minded. Forsake your ways, ye wicked ones. Forsake your thoughts, ye unrighteous people. God is looking into your world. When you're conniving, sitting at home as a contractor, as an employer, trying to figure, trying to manipulate, trying to work it out of how that you can take in somebody to get more money than you ought to get from them when you know it isn't right, and trying to figure out how that you can cut corners to take a dollar from a working man so that you can have an extra dollar in the bank. My friend, God sees you. God is watching you. God knows what you're doing. He's looking down at you. He knows your plans. He knows your intentions. He knows your connivings. He knows your evils. He knows what you're up to. And that very dollar, that extra dollar that you put in the bank, may be that extra dollar that you have to use to bury your loved one with or to pay your own funeral bill with. A lot of times, God's a little more merciful to the extent that it's you just have to fix the wrecked automobile, or he'll let something else happen. I never will forget when I was struggling out on the field trying to carry the gospel. I preached at a man's church over in Mississippi. He shortchanged me in the offering, my offering. He shortchanged me because he was the pastor of the church. He went off to visit with his relatives in the other state nearby. I just went to the Lord and prayed. Said, Lord, help him and bless him. He's my brother. I love him. But he paid for it. And when they figured up to see how much he paid, it came to exactly what he took from me. Just exactly to the T. The Lord made him pay for it in a way that he knew. And then after that, he paid again and again and again. You know, you can't do wrong and get by. I heard a man say one time, he said, Brother Pike, I withheld my tithe from the church. He said, I went straight out and had a wreck. Said, it cost me some money. Said, you know how much? I said, how much? He said, exactly my tithe money. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You say, things don't happen like that. Yes, it does. Not always that way. God was merciful to that man because the man probably was a fine man. But now God could have let it happen 10 times what his tithe money had been because he was wretched. But he wanted him to know he was trying to talk to him. Folks, God sees your thoughts. He sees your conniving. He sees your plans. He sees you robbing God. He sees you stealing from the orphans. He sees you causing division. He sees you lying. He sees you cheating. He sees your conniving evil thoughts when you're trying to undermine the home, tear down a man's home, break up a family, or to go in and defile a daughter or some whorish woman that wants to subdue a son and pull him off when he's trying to do what's right. God sees those evil, wretched ways when you do those things. And you'll be cast into a lake of fire for that. And the Bible said, and God cast the whore into the lake of fire. He cast the whore, and the Bible said, I will burn her children with fire. The world is a whore, and all of her children are brought forth in whoredom. And God said, I'll burn them with fire. I'll burn them with fire. And everyone that don't have the Spirit of God is part of that system. Part of that system. A lot of things that I'd like to say tonight. I feel a reverence and an interest. Not a lingering interest that we might go on to some revelation. As I thought earlier to go on to. But at least enough interest to get over the thought of the lake of fire. That's the important thing. There is a lake of fire, and it's waiting for some of you, because some of you are not going to honor the things that I've said. I know that you're not going to honor it. I know that you're not, because you haven't honored it in the past, and you're not going to honor it in the future. And just as you're listening to me, and all of a sudden today it's dawning on you what you've done, there'll come a day when the last step will be taken. And it will dawn on you all of a sudden again what I said these many times and what the Lord told you these many times. But then at that time it will be too late. It will dawn again. And you'll say, my God, Lord, it dawned those different times and I was going to do something about it. But here it is, it's dawned this time, and it's too late, forever, eternally too late to do anything about it. I let the time slip by. Some of you women are going to do that very thing. Watch and see. Some of you religious women, you're going to do that very thing. You watch and see what I'm telling you. If you don't get a hold of yourself and get a hold of yourself fast and stop playing games with God, because you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't have it. And some of you men, you don't have the Spirit of God. You've been with me a long time, but you don't have the Spirit of God. And the Bible said, if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. I want to remind you of these things tonight, because I believe that the lake of fire is getting nearer and nearer and nearer for the people of the world. I really believe that. I made mention at the men's meeting this past Monday night about the little paper that here in the 80s, at last, they've come up with what they call the scanner. They have at last, strangely enough, for the first time it's come on the market or come to the surface, been shown for the first time. Out of all the years, the year that we spoke would be 80. The gathering together of the church, and for the things that was to take place, of the judgments of the Lord setting in, here in the 80s, they've come up with what they call the scanner. And they say that it is exactly what they need to go over the hands of a person, or the head of a person, or whatever, to reveal the invisible mark that will be placed in the hands of the individual for computerized operation. And they say the scanner will do the job. They call it the hand scanner. Whereas it said, they that receive the mark in their right hand are in their foreheads. I made the statement, I said, you'll see it come to pass. I said this a long time ago. There'll come a time they'll do away with the checking system. They'll do away with the card system. They'll do away with all of these other things. They'll do away with the money to the extent that it'll be a numerical order to save paper and all of this other thing. It's the way that Satan will bring it about. The way that the Antichrist will cause craft to prosper. By doing all of those things, it's a conservative manner. An operation that puts him in full control. And he'll do it and numbers of other things that he'll do, and you'll find yourself being summoned to receive the mark. I say, well, one thing about it, Brother Pike, I'll never do it. You'll do it just as sure as you're sitting in this building. If you don't get a hold of God, you'll do it. This very day, if they demanded that you come up there and take the mark for your social benefits, where's it going to work? Through the Social Security, it'll be a social benefit. I made the statement, they narrowed it all down and worked it through there, and they've done it. They've even combined the number that they used to have in the Army, the serial number. They've done combined that with the Social Security number. I said they'll work it through the Social Security number. They'll bring it down through a social act. And when they bring it down and they tell you that you've got to have it, you're going to get it, you watch and see, you'll go get it. You people here, you would be shocked at the numbers of people that would go take it. So that I'm telling you one thing, you better get God. I hope that if this article that John Medeski gave us comes out in the Harvester Herald, I hope that you'll be able to read it, because John Medeski really gave a good testimony concerning holiness, concerning God, and he really upbraided the American people and told them how slothful and lazy, careless and unconcerned they were. I mean, he makes it plain according to his feelings and what's going to happen to them. And he tells them what he understands will befall them. And I've seen it happening. And he told them, he said, you won't be able to stand. American people, he said, you won't be able to stand. He said, I saw Christian people stand. 60,000, was it right? 60,000. He said, I saw them stand. Not one of them yielded. He said, but you people won't be able to stand. And he's so right. He's so right. Those people had a conviction. They believed in something. I've got some people here that believe in something that's got a conviction, and they'll stand. But I've got some here that's so wishy-washy and double-minded, that's so wrapped up in the world, that's so in and out and so halfway-minded in the things of God, and so over-delighted in the things of the world, that they wouldn't stand for nothing. Wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart will be. And wherever your heart is, that's the way you're going, my brother and sister. You say, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. You'll do it just as sure as you're sitting on those benches. Wherever your heart is, I guarantee you that's where you'll go. You watch and see. They said the Jesus name people never would mix with the Trinity people. I said, they'll do it. I said, as sure as I live in this world, they've never done it before. I said, but they'll do it. I said, they got too much at stake. I said, the UPC will do it. No, but they did do it. When they had the Washington for Jesus meeting, they mixed with the people that's not even holding up a standard of holiness, that don't even hold up a standard of holiness, that's publishing the things of the world in the worst kind of way, and Trinity people, and went right there and joined forces with them. They done it. Why? For one reason. Where your treasures are, that's where your heart will be. Some of you have got your treasures in mind and thoughts and plans in the wrong direction. All right, I want you to stand with me. I love you. This is the love of God, to tell you the truth. You need to get concerned. You need to quit worrying about going to the cafe. There's nothing wrong with going to the cafe and eating and drinking. The Bible said they'd be doing it in the last days. Solomon said there's nothing better than for you to eat and drink. There's nothing wrong with it. But you get in a rut, you get to where you don't want to do nothing but live in the world. You'll put God off to save back money to get to that cafe to feed your belly. And that the Bible said all of your labor is for your belly. You'll put off orphans and let them go hungry before you'll put your belly off. And before you'll do it without a nice car, or a nice home, or money in the bank. You'll do it. And you'll be turned into the lake of fire. You'll do it, so help me God. God will turn you into the lake of fire. Don't you know that if you let a soul die and go into the lake of fire when you could have done something about it, that God is going to let you go into the lake of fire? You say, where do you get Bible for that? The Bible said, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Isn't that right? You let your life be such that when people look at you, that instead of leading them into freedom and liberties of God and leading them out of the world and leading them into holiness and leading them into the wonderful Holy Ghost fruits of the Spirit and godly living, you let your life be such that you don't lead them into that and you are leading them into captivity. Because Jesus said, if you gather not with me, you scatter abroad, and see if God don't let the devil deceive you and lead you into captivity. I've thought about some of these great evangelists. They thought they were so wise, and hundreds and thousands of evangelists followed after them. When I heard the Lord say, son, don't follow them, I heard him so plain say, don't follow them. Satan is showing them the world. They think that's the wisdom of God, and they're making those thousands and millions. Said, don't follow them. They think that they've got a great wisdom, and they have. Said, but it's not of God. Stay away from it. Said, they're going into captivity, and they're leading the others into captivity. In the end, he said, they'll find themselves in prison, in captivity, and so they have. I heard about one of the great evangelists just today. One of the noted evangelists. He was on television tearing a person down, making the statements they wasn't fit to go to heaven. They deserve to go to hell. Now, when a person talks like that, something's wrong with them. Did you know that? You know who he was talking about? A woman that had been healed of cancer in his meeting. You know why he was talking about her? Because they said that his daughter, or her daughter, had gone with him a number of years ago. And it stayed with him doing his ministry, as they say. And the woman was all upset, saying that he had kidnapped her daughter. Whereas the woman stated that he had told her and the daughter back at that time that both of them were supposed to go with him. Whereas she said, I will have to talk to my husband. And he was quoted as saying, the Lord didn't say anything about your husband going. Now understand that the woman is going from place to place in his meeting, screaming out, hollering, saying things against him publicly, and that she's got in a suit against him. And it's got him all tore up. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I just know one thing, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Brothers and sisters, I've told you the truth. You can follow the other evangelists, you can do what you want to, and you're going to do what you want to. The Lord made you a sovereignty so you could do what you want to. But there's one thing about it. You're going to answer at the end of the way for what you've done. I'm going to answer at the end of the way for what I've done. If I've done wrong, 10,000 worlds won't change it. If I've done right, there's no way that you can change it. And it remains the same with you. If you've done wrong, there'll be no way that it can be changed. So while you've got a chance, then you need to do something. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I'm going to tell you again, those that reject God, the Bible said, and all whose names were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life were turned into the lake of fire. Now, there is but one Lamb's Book of Life. I've got it. If there's no record of you in here, then that means you don't belong to him. Every person that belongs to him, they're found within these pages. For he said, he that abideth in me, and my word abideth in him. Then he can ask what he will, I'll do it. You belong to the Father, you belong to me. All of God's family is recorded within this book. They walk within the boundaries of this book. They live within this book. Their names are found within this book. Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost. Father, I have not lost a one of them that you give me. Every one that you give me, I'll raise him up in the last day. You may say that you're going because you belong to some church or some preacher has told you. But brother, sister, the Bible said, examine yourselves, see if you be in the book. That is, see if you be in the faith. See if your confidence is in this. For faith is by the hearing of the book. For lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. Now, whatever you want to do, that's up to you. But there's a lake of fire waiting. You can do whatever you want to. But the grace of God that is given to you for this age will be lifted. And those people that have the grace of God will not go to heaven. You say, Brother Pike, those that's got the grace of God will go to heaven. Those that have the grace of God out there will still go to hell. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible said the grace of God hath appeared unto every man, teaching them that denying worldly lust and ungodliness, that they should live soberly, righteously in this present world. Those that have the righteousness of God, for the Bible said being found with his righteousness, not his grace, for God has given grace to all. For he hath poured out his spirit upon all. But my brother, the thing, grace was for you that you might become a Christian. It was to save you in the sense of you finding Christ. But the righteousness of God is what you must have if you are his. And everyone that is found without the righteousness of God, for we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. If you are found without his righteousness, then you'll be turned into the lake of fire. So then you need to think it over.